This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a subject that I think is of utmost importance because we're going to talk about a whole category of supplements that are based on an important principle. I think we could summarize it by saying, just say no, not to drugs, but actually we want to give a rousing affirmation to no. No stands for nitric oxide. Perhaps you've heard about nitric oxide. Nitric oxide, very important in physiology. Nobel Prizes have been won around the principle of discovery of nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is actually the underlying principle behind erectile dysfunction drugs like Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. But there's a whole raft of nutritional supplements that purport to raise nitric oxide and creates a lot of confusion for consumers. So we've invited an expert on the subject. She is executive director of the Berkeley Life Scientific Advisory Board. She's Beth Shirley. Beth is a pharmacist. She's also a certified clinical nutritionist. And her specialties include stress-induced hormonal imbalance, intestinal dysfunction, autoimmune and chronic inflammatory issues, detoxification, and oxidative stress. She's been working with some of the leading thought leaders in the world of nitric oxide research, and she's therefore developed an in-depth knowledge on the topic. And as I mentioned, she's currently executive director of the Berkeley Life Scientific Advisory Board. So, Beth, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, provide us with a general introduction to nitric oxide. You know, for people who are really not familiar with the concept, what is it? What does it do in the body?
Nitric oxide is a gas along with carbon dioxide and oxygen. Nitric oxide won the Nobel Prize in 1998, showing how it affected blood pressure and circulation. So it affects almost every single physiological function in our body.
It's a chemical messenger, in other words.
Right, right. From the circulation everywhere, the cardiovascular system, the neurological system, very important for learning, memory, for neuronal plasticity, so it keeps our brains healthy, and for our sexual response in both the men and women. It's important in the lungs, for relaxing the lungs. In our immune system, nitric oxide is what the body uses to protect itself against microbes. It's very important in the endocrine system with the hormone balance. Important, like, in our vision. We've got all these little blood vessels in our retina, and this keeps the blood flowing through our eyes.
And so,
with the kidneys.
The kidney function as well. So, in disease states or in the process of aging, is nitric oxide implicated in some forms of dysfunction or age-related degenerative disorders?
In every single physiological function, if there is a deficiency of nitric oxide, you are going to have dysfunction.
And we make less of it as we age?
by the time we're 40, our production of nitric oxide through the NOS, the nitric oxide synthase hormones, decreases to about 50%. By the time we're 60, it functions around 15%.
Wow.
So
okay.
With the
15%, so 85% of our capacity to make nitric oxide has disappeared by the time we're 60? That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Okay, so let's look at it from a nutritional standpoint. You know, certain things, the vitamins, you know, the only way we're going to get them is from external sources, from our food, or maybe, if we're lucky, our microbiome, our bacteria in our intestines synthesize them. Do we make our own nitric oxide, or do we rely on external sources, or is it a mixture of those two influences?
Well, it's a mixture of two. One way is through the NOS enzyme system. Nitrate is a byproduct of making your nitric oxide.
Nitric oxide synthase, which is the
synthase, yeah.
Right, which is the thing that helps us synthesize it or make it ourselves, right?
Right, right. But as I said, as we get older, our production through the NOS is decreased. So then our nitrate formed through the NOS is decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it through our diet or through supplementation. And you want to increase that as we get older, because this pathway is not dependent on that NOS enzyme system.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, I've done a little work lately on genetics. And, you know, it's really quite interesting to study the genetics. These are not mutations. These are normal variants. But it seems that you can actually look at a saliva sample and you can determine if someone has a robust or a weak nitric oxide synthase pathway. And if somebody has a very weak pathway, much higher risk of cardiovascular disease, much higher risk of erectile dysfunction, in fact.
Exactly. Erectile dysfunction is probably the very first sign of cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
a problem in of itself. It's a, you know, it's a
right.
life-impairing problem, but it's also indicative of something that may be a deeper problem.
Way bigger.
Mm-hmm. With
just
implications
ED.
Beyond your sex life. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So a couple of ways that, you know, I've been around the block with nitric oxide for, you know, I think we've known about it for a couple of decades. And a couple of ways to go about it. One is to take arginine. Arginine and citrulline are thought to be building blocks or precursors in some way for nitric oxide production. And then there's the other way, which is to have, you know, lots of beet juice. Beets seem to be rich in dietary nitrates, which the body can convert to nitric oxide. Do I have it right? There's two basic pathways to getting nitric
Correct.
Oxide into you. Okay. So explain.
Correct. So the NOS pathway uses arginine to make the nitric oxide. However, when you give arginine to somebody, the cell doesn't even pick up arginine to flow into that pathway. The cell will pick up citrulline and then form its own arginine to feed into that pathway. And a lot of times when you're giving arginine to somebody, you're increasing an enzyme called arginase, which increases the breakdown of NO, and you're increasing what's called ADMA, asymmetrical dimethylarginine.
That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. We can measure
right.
it. Yeah, that's like a pro-oxidant.
Right. And this will actually increase what's called NOS uncoupling.
Oh.
This is where your nitric oxide synthase enzyme becomes dysfunctional, and instead of being a nitric oxide producer it becomes a superoxide producer, increasing oxidative stress.
Hmm.
So I don't recommend anybody take arginine.
Mm-hmm. So you as the executive director of the Berkeley Life Scientific Advisory Board have opted for a different strategy to augment nitric oxide, which is feeding nitrate precursors.
Okay. Right.
So how does that work?
The other pathway we can use to make nitric oxide is the nitrate to nitrite to NO pathway. And this uses dietary nitrates. We either take a supplement or we eat beets, arugula. Arugula is a high nitrate concentrated vegetable, celery, spinach. So our body absorbs the nitrate. About 25% of it gets concentrated in the salivary glands. And they release the nitrate, and we've got some good anaerobic bacteria on the dorsal part of our tongue, the top part of our tongue, that reduce that nitrate to nitrite.
So it has to undergo a conversion that are helped by certain flora.
Good bacteria.
Good bacteria.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which accounts for the recent stories, fascinating stories, that suggest that mouthwash can raise your blood pressure. Please explain.
It does. Within even the first dose of mouthwash, you will decrease the number of those good anaerobic bacteria, so you're not reducing that nitrate to nitrite.
Hmm. And they even say that mouthwash can attenuate the beneficial effects of exercise on blood pressure and vasodilation and circulation via nitric oxide.
Totally annihilate the process, yes.
So don't work out and then, you know, rush home and pull out a bottle of Listerine and squish it around. Not a good idea.
No, and I don't recommend anybody use mouthwash, nor antibacterial toothpaste, or even fluoride toothpaste, because fluoride is antibacterial.
Whoa. So, okay, well, you know, there's so many reasons that we have this epidemic of circulatory problems and hypertension in this country. You know, maybe that's a contributing factor, the pervasive use of these products, which are ubiquitous. You know, everybody wants clean breath, you know, fight tooth decay, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, maybe that's backfiring, you know, with unintended consequences.
Right. Well, by using these mouthwashes, though, you're disturbing your oral microbiome. So, like, we have a microbiome in our intestinal tract. Well, the mouth is part of that intestinal tract, and it has its own set of good bacteria.
Hmm.
So, when you have overgrowth of the wrong bacteria in your intestinal tract, you'll have intestinal problems, intestinal distress, you know, bad gas. Well, same thing with your mouth. So, I think you're just perpetuating this dysbiosis of your mouth.
So there are a lot of products out there. You know, let's face it, I think you're aware that Berkeley Life Professional, there are competitor products to nitric oxide support. Many products that are, you know, beet powder, beet extract, they deliver dietary nitrates. What are some of the considerations that went into your product? By the way, your product is designed for health professionals, right? It's not so much available in retail stores or, you know, because frankly, there's a lot of nitric oxide, a bit of a buzzword in the supplement industry. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, I want that. That's, you know, the Viagra principle. It's, you know, good for my heart. So how do you distinguish your product from the welter products on the marketplace?
Well, when you have a beet product, you really never know the nitrate concentration of these beet products because you take five different beets from grown in five different soils, you will have five different levels of nitrates. So studies have shown that it takes 300 to 400 milligrams of nitrates to make the cardiovascular changes, to increase the exercise endurance. So our product has about 500 milligrams of potassium nitrate, which is equal to about 5 ounces of spinach or 7 ounces of beets. To get the dosage needed to affect changes.
And if you were to try to do this with vegetables, would they have to be raw or freshly juiced? I mean, could you just like sauteed some spinach, or could you just have pickled beets, or does that diminish the nitric oxide production when they're not raw?
You can do that. However, you never know how much you're getting.
Okay. It's not standardized. Yeah.
Right.
And it's good. You know, we encourage people to eat those things, but frankly, some people find the taste of beets abhorrent. I like them. I put them on my salad. But it's not standardized like a product that is, tested and, pharmaceutically targeted.
Right. There's studies showing that the Americans get about 150 milligrams of nitrates in their diet.
Well, that's about a quarter. That's a quarter of what we need.
What you need.
Yeah.
The DASH diet and the Mediterranean diet, the way they believe they work for decreasing cardiovascular disease and increasing longevity is through the nitrate concentration of those diets.
Mm-hmm. It's specifically recommended for hypertension.
Right. It has about 1,000 milligrams of nitrate in that diet.
Okay. From lots of fresh fruits and especially vegetables.
And vegetables, yeah.
So I'm looking Go ahead.
Okay, when we swallow the nitrate, it goes into the stomach, and an acidic stomach will help reduce that nitrate to NO. So you'll get some reduction in some NO production in the stomach. A lot of the nitrate is absorbed and it goes to specific tissues where it's needed. And we have some enzymes called nitrite reductases that will reduce that nitrite to NO in specific tissues on an as-needed basis.
Okay. And so, I'm looking at the product here. It's Berkeley Life Professional Nitric Oxide Support, 60 capsules. So, this is a practical question. If it sits around, I mean, how do you make it stable? Because if I make a glass of beet juice, and I leave it on my shelf for a couple of days, I don't know, it's going to turn brown, it's going to oxidize, it'll change. How do you stabilize nitrates? Are they stable? Can they sit around in a box or in a package, while you wait to use your monthly allocation?
The nitrates are stable.
Okay.
So they will sit around for a couple of years.
Okay. And, what's interesting, too, is that you offer people to take the challenge, which is to measure their nitric oxide. And there's a simple way to do that with saliva test strips. How does that work?
The test strips will test your nitrite concentration in your mouth. So remember I said the salivary glands concentrate the nitrate. And then we've got the good bacteria on our tongue that will reduce it to nitrite. So by measuring your saliva, you're looking at your nitrate concentration, your ability to reduce. You're looking at your oral microbiome. So by doing measuring and then doing two capsules of the Berkeley Life and then rechecking, in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
You do a pre and a post test to compare.
Right. And most people will see a definite darkening of the strip. There have been a few people that they didn't see anything at first. And so then that's when you start asking questions about mouthwash or toothpaste or antibiotic use. Or PPIs, proton pump inhibitors.
Yep. The acid blocking medications can change the flora. Yeah.
Right. They decrease the production of nitric oxide in two different pathways, in both pathways. So that's why these drugs are connected with cardiovascular disease, with dementia, with osteoporosis, with kidney dysfunction, is because they're totally decimating your ability to produce nitric oxide.
Wow, that's really amazing. There's some implications of nitric oxide in stem cells, which, you know, everybody, it's all the rage these days. People take injections and infusions of stem cells. They spend tens of thousands of dollars. They go to sometimes offshore locations or alternative clinics to get stem cells. But we can stimulate our stem cells through supporting our nitric oxide production, right?
Right. The stem nitric oxide is required for stem cell mobilization and differentiation. If you don't have adequate nitric oxide, these stem cells won't know where to go or what to do. So the people that have failed stem cell therapy, it could be because they're nitric oxide deficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not enough just to inject stem cells. They actually have to be properly taken up and properly directed
right.
to the target organs and activated. So it's really not so simple as it seems.
Exactly.
Okay. This is Beth Shirley. Beth Shirley, Executive Director of Berkeley Life Scientific Advisory Board. The product, and you actually make just one product, right? You don't make a whole array of products. This is your nitric oxide support. It's available through health professionals, and we've also made it available to our Intelligent Medicine listeners via our website, drhoffmanstore.com. You go to FullScript. FullScript carries Berkeley Life Professional. That's the way to access it because, you know, you can't go to your Duane Reade or local health food store. It's not usually going to be available there. All right, we got more to talk about. The subject is nitric oxide supplementation, and our guest is Beth Shirley. She's a registered pharmacist. She's also a certified clinical nutritionist. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.